Last week, only I was reading the obituary of a famous preacher. Among the main things that he was noted for was the way in which he described the Holy Trinity, because he was a keen cricketer. And he said, if you, from the bowler's point of view, you see three stumps. But if you're fielding, just there at the side of the wicket, and you're looking that way, you only see one. And people thought that was fantastic. Years ago, I took a picture of what I thought initially was one tree, but it was three trees. And they were so closely growing together and wound together that from the distance it just looked like one. But when you got up to it, it was three. And there are lots of illustrations to try and show what the meaning of Trinity is. But the problem with diagrams of that kind, we're trying to use objects to explain three relationships in what which is something very different. Three spiritual beings in one, working and interacting so close together that they work entirely as one. Does your left hand know what your right hand is doing? it's your being working as one. We'll come back to that later. No worry, Catherine, it's fine. Thank you. Necessary, we just take. The word Trinity, referring to Trinity Sunday, of course, isn't found in the Bible. But there are lots of readings which illustrate the point. And I'm going to use one of them this morning, which is from John 3. If you wish to find the reading, it's John 3. Story that probably you know quite well, but let's pray as we turn to the word. Father, we ask anointing on this day, this wonderful day of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We seek understanding, and we know that that is the Spirit's responsibility to bring us the truth. Help us to have an open heart as we share together. In Jesus. Amen. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Just think as we're reading, Jesus couldn't be Jesus unless God was with him. He's already named the two parts of the three. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everything, is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So the concept he's getting across is a spiritual heavenly one of the three, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, gradually, you see. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, and the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He's already mentioned the Spirit and the importance of the Spirit. Now he mentions the importance of himself as the Redeemer of mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We're only complete as humans, as Christians, when we are in community with God and with one another, and when we follow Christ's greatest command, which was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. But the second is like unto it, love your neighbour as yourself. We too are three in one, but we'll come to look at that in a moment. The Bible was written as a self-revelation of God. And that is just one of the parts which is a revelation of the three in one. Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, of course, was a person on earth, and he's always referred to as a person. And the Holy Spirit is always referred to as a person. Jesus himself said, when the Comforter comes, he, the Holy Spirit, will come to you. We find, even right at the beginning of Genesis, in the account of creation, the Spirit was there already before ever man was made, brooding over the action of creation that was taking place. Jesus was there too. And Jesus described later, of course, as God's only begotten Son. The Holy Spirit is always revealed in the Word as a creative power. And Jesus said in his last words on this earth, didn't he? You will wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, which means it is that power that we need for true life with God. And of course that happened at Pentecost, as we were thinking about last week. Know ye not that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit to indwell? It's fantastic how three aspects of God's being so harmoniously work together. And you can understand what is meant by unity when Jesus comes to talk about unity. Now, life is about relationships, isn't it? And how we work together and respond together in the way that God intended. How is it between God and you this morning? How is it between you and everybody else? Whether they are relatives, acquaintances, friends, strangers. Many years ago, something like 85, I think, I had a brief relationship with a lamppost, which reduced me to tears. And the lamppost never blinked an eyelid. There it was, flickering its gas light. But it can be like that with people. We can try to get close. I've never been closer to a lamppost than I was on that occasion. And we wish we hadn't sometimes, because there's just nothing there. There can be a relationship, there can be smiles, there can be words. Well, that isn't necessarily a true relationship. It isn't necessarily a heart-to-heart encounter. And God made it clear that our love and relationship to him is made visible through the relationship with one another, with our neighbour. He said, if you haven't got that right relationship with one another, you haven't got it with me. That's how he sees it. And it's very important issue for us. We were created to be a reflection of himself, his love, to have a heart relationship with him. The goal of creation was fellowship with God. That's why he made us, and fellowship with creation. And before the fall, he wanted us to participate totally in him and what he was being and doing, creating love. There was perfect harmony at the beginning. And the fall of man broke that relationship. And man was no longer orientated, as it were, to God and his word. Or his neighbour. Or even the environment. Lives became empty and meaningless in God's eyes. The way back to God, we know that Jesus takes our sin, but Jesus also taught a very important principle, which we find in Matthew 11, verse 25. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and that you have reveal them to little children. Why was he saying that? It was because man became wise in his own conceit, making his own values, his own judgment, his own opinions, not relying on God. And Jesus went on, of course, to say that it requires humility, emptying the heart of self, recognizing that we are totally unable to meet our own need. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, dependent by faith, day by day, at the cross. We have to take our cross daily, dependent day by day on the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself knew he had to be one with the Father, because he was living in a fallen world. He didn't always find it easy, but he said, I and the Father are one, and I only do what I see the Father doing. And that should be, of course, our aim in life. I remember many years ago when I came into a personal deeper awareness of the power of the Holy Spirit. I'd just been at L.L. Grange attending there a short time, and we began to extend the ministry to countries abroad. The original vision was for this country, but gradually it was led overseas. And when we visited another country, the message, of course, was preached through an interpreter. And I particularly recall the team returning from Budapest and the amazement that was registering in many of the team's faces as they came. Because, as happens always in healing and teaching services of that kind, the message went out through an interpreter, and then through the interpreter people were invited to come forward and the counsellors would pray with them. Well, there seemed to be a slight problem there, because the counsellors couldn't speak Hungarian. One or two Hungarians might have been able to speak a little pidgin English, if you like, but they couldn't really communicate. And there had to be absolute reliance on the Holy Spirit. And they found what they were so amazed about. They would pray with people in the Spirit, sometimes in English, sometimes using the gift of a tongue. And as they prayed, they wouldn't necessarily know what they were praying about or what the problem was that the person had. And they would see the change come about in the person's face. Weight would be lifted. Cares would disappear. And whereas they probably came forward in great concern, they had a lovely smile on their face as the prayer ended. They could have been very troubled about something. Now that's reliance on the Holy Spirit. The only exception to that would be if the counsellor had been given a word of knowledge, which can happen. Now, I quickly found that reliance on the gifting and help of the Holy Spirit was absolutely essential when we are praying for one another. But not only at those special times, it is every day, whatever we're doing, living out life, not in our way, but dependent on God. Relationships always have to be worked at. How are you getting on with your... Are you working a relationship with somebody? They have to be worked at. They have to be kept right. They have to be put in place. And Jesus, of course, was a perfect example. How did he work at it? Through the Word. That was God's voice to him, drawing aside to share things with God, to receive the information he needed to receive or the affirmation he needed to receive. He needed to be led of the Spirit in what he was doing. And that's how life is. He drew aside as often as was necessary. And that's how the unity develops. It has to be worked at. I mean, I've heard people say, God doesn't seem to be speaking to me today. But the answer often is, well, have we really given him the chance? Have we opened ourselves to him? The early church gradually put together words which kind of spelled out what the Trinity meant. And you probably know there's the Apostles' Creed, which doesn't specifically mention the Trinity, the Nicene Creed. And there was the Athanasian Creed, which that was written about the 6th century, and it is totally given to explaining the three in one. I'll just read a little bit of it because it's very long. I don't want to use it all. But it says early in the Creed, this is the Catholic faith, meaning not the Roman Catholic faith, but the universal faith. We worship one God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the divine being. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Spirit is still another. But the deity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory, co-eternal in majesty. And he goes on to show how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were uncreated. Well, mankind, of course, was created by the power that was there. The Jewish perception of God was and still is a threefold one. It begins with God's self-description in Genesis when he said, let us, he didn't say let me, let us make God, make man in our image. And the Jews knew that, of course. In Isaiah, we have three different names for God. The first means your maker. The second one, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And the third one means God of all the earth. And the Jews have a great Torah blessing, and it's a threefold blessing. The sacred name is used three times. And the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And be gracious unto you. Lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. We always pray threefold blessing, don't we, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus spoke of the Trinity when he commanded followers to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in our grace that we say every week, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, always threefold. Well, what is our commission in the world? To go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What about ourselves? What's the implication for us? We are meant to be Trinity. We were made as a Trinity, body, soul, and spirit, which are meant to be in perfect harmony, in perfect oneness. And of course, sadly, because of the fall, that too became a problem. So thinking about ourselves, I could go on to talk a lot about the way that we can come into that harmony gradually. As we've shared in testimony about wholeness, when we talk about wholeness and healing, it's that harmony within body, soul, and spirit. Because, of course, very often, if there is something wrong in the spirit or wrong in the soul, that is our feelings and our mind, then it shows in the body. And there is problem. There is not the oneness that there should be. So let's have a moment of quietness before God. Father, you made us. You meant us to be in full relationship with you. The harmony of living by the Spirit. We thank you that through Jesus we can be back in relationship. But we're so aware of how we, day by day, have to work at the relationship. You are there for us. The power of the Holy Spirit is there for us. But you will never impose upon us. And it is for us, with an open heart and mind, to be open to you. And as we pray together right at this moment, perhaps you wish to show us something deeply of yourself, the love that you have for all your people. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Move among us as we pray. Help us fully in our hearts to be wanting, desiring, to reach out to you and to admit before you that we can't run our own lives just the way we would humanly want. Help us in any way that we need. We pray your leading, your guiding. We thank you that so often you will warn us. Sometimes when we're putting a foot wrong. And I pray the power now of your Spirit upon us. Move among us, we pray. Quicken our hearts. To make us fully receptive. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.